Our reading tonight is from the ninth chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul writes to us, to the church, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline myself like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord. So, Thursday, Padre calls me in his office and he said, I need you to preach this weekend over at the historic campus. So here I am. And so normally I have usually a few weeks to put something together. I had two. So, and yet what I want to share with you tonight is from the heart. And as we move into this season of stewardship, which is I've always been a little nervous talking about because I always feel like many ministers manipulate. So I pray that is not the case here tonight, because I think what I'm getting at here is bigger than any of us can possibly imagine. It gets at what's really important for us as a body of believers. And I want to point to the passage up here that I just read, and I want to point specifically to that point down here where it says, so I run with purpose in every step. What does that mean? What does it mean to run with purpose in every step? One of the highlights of my adult life has been the last 3 or 4 years of spending time with young people. I was a youth minister for 10 years. When I became a priest, really, I kind of phased out of that. And yet, God seemed to open doors for me to begin to speak to young people again. And it's amazing the conversations I have with people of talking about this whole idea of running with purpose in every step. It's hard not to feel hopeful about the future when you spend time with young people. And I have often found myself in conversations talking about this idea of purpose and passion. About what does that mean? What does it mean to be a person of purpose? What does it mean to be a person of passion? And what I communicate to them, I'm telling you tonight. And that is passion is usually about you. It's about what sets you on fire. It's about what gets you excited. It's what burns deep within you. Something that gets you out of bed in the morning. And not only that, but having the courage to follow it. That's big. And passion is never about just one thing. And this is a huge cultural narrative that I have been pushing against for years. And that is, and it's especially true of young people. And I think, honestly, my conversations, I think it's true of a lot of older people too. And that is that many people believe, and I think it's a false belief, that you have to discover your passion, like one thing, to the exclusion of all the others. And passion's never about one thing. It's usually underneath it that burns in everything else, that sets us on fire. And the belief is, and I've certainly had to push against this with young people, is that the belief is that once I find my passion, then I can kind of exhale, then everything will fall into place. And therefore, because of this, many of the people I talked to said, I just haven't discovered what I'm passionate about. Like, somehow they can't begin life until that happens. Like they're being held back. And it's like, she just turned 19 a few weeks ago. She said to me, unless I define my passion, it's like picking a major for life. And I don't know what that is. Passion is not a train that you and I get on. And we get on it for the rest of our lives. It's more than anything a journey. And anything I've learned in life, your passions many times will be many, many, many things. Obviously, I love being a minister. I love getting up here in this pulpit. I think many of you know this, okay? I have a great passion about it, but it's not my life. If this is taken away, I'm going to go on. My identity is not found in this. I'm passionate about a lot of other things, too. If you've ever spent any time with me, you know how much I love and talk about, okay, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, right? If any of you haven't heard about him, come talk to me afterwards. I'll fill you in, okay? In fact, last year, it'll be in a week from last year, last November, my wife and I, Lisa, traveled up to Montreat, North Carolina, up to Montreat College, and we got a chance to spend the day up there with C.S. Lewis's son, just sitting down and picking his head and talking about all the questions I've had for 25 years that are never in any of the books. And just what a joy it was to get to know him and to talk to him regularly now, every couple of months, via email or text. It's a passion. This gets me excited that I share with people. The passion I think a lot of us feel in athletics that I feel. These are my sports teams. And yes, I do have the May River Sharks up there. We have a coach back here. Because I coached at Bluffton High for years, and yet I have so many people I love and care about go to that because it's bigger than that. Athletics often get us excited, and we know this in athletics. We see these pictures. We see the passion. We see the excitement. We see people get out of their seats and cheer and are excited about it. And last year, I spoke to across school, and I figured, how can I talk about passion with them? And I knew that many cases, not just music, but sports is a way to talk about passion. It's a way to introduce the gospel through the back door. Talk about that. And so I put together a video to show them that they were pretty fired up about. And the reason why they're fired up, not just because the video is exciting, because at the very end of the video, the last 10 seconds, I put in there the football coach out at Cross School, who was then playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and him trying to fire his team up. And so I thought, just to raise up the dead tonight here, of all of us here, is I want to play this video and see if you don't get excited watching this. So watch this.
Can the veteran chase him down and pull off a shocker here? Well, there's no doubt that he's tightened up. Bernard is losing to ground. Here comes Lizette. Unbelievable at the end. He's done it. The U.S. has done it.
He did it.
He did it. He did it.
And look who's coming up. 4-3 A's. Two out, ninth inning. Not a bad opening act.
And the Dodgers have won the game 5-4. I don't believe what I just saw.
In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Second to go!
go fast. Jerome gives it up. Far side. Hunter hits the three to tie it. Oh, my goodness, with 12 seconds remaining.
And the kick is blocked. Appalachian State has stunned the college football world. One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
Here they come down the track. Usain Bolt sprinting ahead, winning by daylight.
And here he was just before the game tonight.
Yeah, this is what we must do.
That's awesome. Okay. Exciting, right? Passion. And of course, I had to put my Appalachian State Mountaineers in there. I had to put that in there. But passion is never about just one thing. It's actually about so much more. And what I told those young people, what I'm telling you tonight, passion is not found in money. Passion is not found in things. Passion is something that's deep within you that I believe many instances is given to us by God. And it's not just a plan, it's really a feeling, it's a fire. And you may not be give some incredibly deep answer when someone asks you what you're passionate about, or that if you don't have some kind of passion that life's not worth living. I don't believe that. And in so many times and so many places I've discovered, and I am discovering the places that I've discovered about, that I'm passionate about, I really discovered by accident. And I had the courage to walk through a door that God opened, and because of that, it led me into different rooms. Rooms that I could never have planned on in a million years. But I just had the courage to walk through that door. And I've told you, as I said before, I've been passionate about, I'll put the picture up here, me as I've started to coach cross country. I'm on the block right now because I have a torn meniscus. But sitting in a hospital with Emma Dewey as her body was broken, and her saying to me, "You used to run in college. You were on a scholarship. Why are you not running anymore?" And I could not tell her that I just didn't feel like doing it. I didn't have the time when she had a broken body. And she told me, "I think you need to start running again." And so I did. I started running with her when she got out of the hospital. And that led me to start coaching. And it's led me to, I think, one of the great highlights of my adult life. I could never have imagined this. And I'll just tell you a story about this. I'll put the picture up here. These are two kids that I've got quite close to. One of them on the left is a young girl named Perla Jimenez, who just 2 years ago graduated from Bluffton High. She graduated number two academically in a class of 253. Hispanic kid. She comes from nothing. She is on a full scholarship to North Carolina. She is now almost getting ready to get into medical school. She's the first person ever anywhere in her family's history to go to college. It is incredible. And by the way, she loves the Lord. That's the thing about it. And she's wanting to make a difference because her dad, I get this, her dad has been on dialysis for 15 years. I've never even been over that, over eight. And then why is she going into medicine? Because of that. And the thing that's caught me off guard is that you probably can't see that, but this past year as I said goodbye to all these young people that I've loved these last 4 years that they've headed off to college. I brought them up on stage and I began to pray for them and I prayed that God would call them in their passion. But then most of all, what I told them, and I'm telling you tonight because this has everything to do with moving into this season of stewardship, is what is our purpose? What are we here to do? What are we here to accomplish? And whether we die tonight or years from tonight, we have to ask ourselves, God, what is you want me to do with the little time that I have left? Because I told them that, whether you have 50 years, or you have just a couple or a little bit of time, what is God calling you to do and to be? And I want to just remind you of a couple of passages I told them, is that this is what it says there, and the scriptures teach us, you have decided, God. You've decided the length of our lives. You know how many months that we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. He knows the moment we're born, and he knows the moment we will pass. The question is, what are we doing with the time that God has given us? It's a very, very important question to ask. And I've heard it said before, not arisen with me, but when we stand before God, what I think is that there will be two questions asked. Did you know my son? And what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? And he even says this in Ephesians 1, even before he made the world, it says, God loved us and he chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Think about that. This doesn't play with your mind. Even before the world was made, he chose you. And we are called according to his purpose. And therefore, the Bible says we are born to do something great. We're born to do something special. And when it comes to our relationship with God, I guess I'm asking the question is, have you lived life well? Have you lived fully? And if not, you still got time. The fact that you and I are here tonight means we still have time. And I'm reminded of my old homiletics professor, a man named Dr. Steve Brown. It's all over the radio, okay? He used to tell us, okay, if you want to know if you're qualified, okay, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go home. I want you to go into your bathroom. I want you to close the door, and I want you to get right next to a mirror. Breathe on it. If it fogs up, you're available, okay? God can use anybody. It's about making yourself available. And God knows the number of days we have on this earth. And passion and purpose used rightly is how God intended to be used. I will tell you, you actually can change the course of the kingdom of God, regardless of whether anybody else sees it. God sees it. And I guess the question is, are we getting closer to Christ or are we getting farther away? That's what the season's about. It's really about recalibrating. And we can't say that COVID is the reason why we're staying away. They didn't keep the early church from taking over the world. The reason why we're breathing right now is because we have a purpose. So in the end, it's about serving. It's about showing up and being seen. And in God's design, you know, maybe it's really simple. Maybe I've oversimplified this, but I don't think I have, okay? The two great commandments. Love God and love people. How are we loving God, and are we using it in a way to love people? Whether it's through giving, whether it's through serving with our time, whether it's serving through our talents, however it is, what are we using with what God has given us to further the kingdom of God? It's in how you live, in why you live, in the way in which you live that actually makes the difference. And I'll tell you something. This is not just, I'm saying this to you, I'm saying this to me as well. And I'll tell you the story. I'll put this picture up here. This is a picture of my father taken about 4.5 months ago, maybe 5 months ago with my oldest son, Sam. Many of you know I lost my father 3 months ago. He had pancreatic cancer, and then he got COVID. And this is the last picture I had of him with my son walking with him. Barely could walk, and the thing is, we couldn't see him in the end. They wouldn't allow us in his place because he had COVID. And I was able to talk to him through just an iPad. You know, he could barely hear. And, you know, it's a heck of a thing to say goodbye to your father through an iPad. But I said to him, Dad, You know, he's been a minister for 60 years. And I told him, I said, we're going to be okay, me and my two brothers. And I said, I want you to know, you're the best dad I could have ever asked for. And I want to try to be as great as you are and have been. And the last thing he told me was, he said, I love you, Jonathan, but I dare you to be greater. I haven't forgotten that. What will you do with this one and precious life that God has given you? Two scriptures that are some of my life verses. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Wherever God calls you, whatever passion, whatever purpose. And again, our goal is always, always, always to please God in everything we do. That's what we're in for. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's pray. Lord, our goal is to please you in everything we do. We know where we come from. We know why we're here. And praise God, we know where we're going. We have a reason for our existence, Lord. That's why you put us here. And it's not just to serve ourselves, because it has always, always, always been about you. And so, Lord, forgive us for the times we have lost track of this. Forgive me, Lord, for the distractions that so easily entangle us, that we think the things we think are more important than you, our hobbies or sports or politics. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes on what is important, and that is you. And we pray, Lord, in this season, you may help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to think and to move differently, that we may think of ways of how we can serve and how we can give. And help us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to recalibrate our lives, that you may change the direction of our lives, that we may make you your son, our true north. It's in your name we ask and pray these things.